The Sheni Lamalchus, the Sheni Lamalchus began his journey, and he learned about the meaning of deserts, fields, and forests, which seemed to be this endless trip. This is before we actually go through the details of the journey. But at the very beginning, Rabbi Nachman tells us that it was going to take a very long time, the search for the princess, for the lost princess. And that's what we were focusing on last week, on the Indian of the deserts, fields, and forests. Tonight we're going to talk about another word. Finally, while traveling through the desert, he saw a path to the side. Shvil min hatzad, shvil echad min hatzad, in the Lashon HaKodesh, shvil echad min hatzad. That Rabbi Nachman saying that in order to find the lost princess, the Sheni Lamalchus was not going to be able to be successful taking a well-trodden, traveled highway or road. The success of this undertaking would depend upon finding this path to the side. So this is really this tiny little sentence that he was walking in the midbar and he saw a shvil echad mehatzad, that he saw this shvil from the side, a little side path, a path to the side. This is really a very crucial point in the story. Because nothing's happening, nothing would happen, nothing would be able to happen without this little path to the side. So that's what we're going to talk about now a little bit. What is the meaning of this Shvil Echad Min Hatzad? And how is this the Mafteach, the key to ultimately finding the lost princess, and for each and every one of us to find the lost princess, as we've been talking about what that means, Emunah, to find our own neshamas, Tefillah, Malchus, and so on, the Shechina HaKadosha. What is the meaning of a Shvil Echad Min Hatzad, this little path to the side? So the Svarim, Rabbi Nosson, and the other Mefarshim of the Sefer Maaseyos have two basic mahalchim. There are two mahalchim in this that one can find. Two limudim, two things that we learn from this. Each one, there's an oimek, there's a lot to talk about. And it brings up in Yana that we've spoken about so much over the years, just to focus now on these two in a very simple way. It's natural for a person who wants to find that lost part of himself, it's natural for him to believe that in order for him to do this, he has to undertake some incredible, huge project, and there has to be a life-changing spiritual upheaval to turn himself, his kishkes, mamish, inside out, to be able to find the lost princess, where she is, and how could I find, especially the person who once had it, when they were younger, they felt at a certain time in life they were in touch with that part of themselves. So it's natural that a person begins to be Isaac in all kinds of Kabbalahs. I take upon myself this, I take upon myself this, and all kinds of chumras, and all kinds of new projects and restrictions and stringencies and so on and so forth. When a person is desperate, and here we're dealing with a situation of desperation, because we saw what happened, that the princess was taken to the Lo Tov, the no good, That means that when a person finds himself mamish in the lowest part of his life, in the worst time of his life, so it's natural that in order to get back to the world of the lost princess, to get out of that horrible dungeon that a person's in, it would warrant very extreme measures. And here, Rabbi Nachman is teaching us something that's such a basic part of all of his Torahs. And whoever has even seen a little bit of Rabbi Nachman knows that he often spoke about this. Rabbi Nachman was against a person in general, was against a person taking the Sitra Achra and fighting the Sitra Achra with the other side, Reish B'Reish, taking it head on. He was outspokenly opposed to stringencies that are not part of Shulchan Aruch, accepting upon oneself additional chumas. He always said, there's plenty in Shulchan Aruch to make you a religious Jew without having to take on extra additional things. There's enough in Yiddishkeit to keep us busy, that we could be Elohim, that we could be God-fearing Jews. And he was against extreme behavior and any kind of religious exhibitionism, and extreme behavior was very much against the whole essence of who Rabbi Nachman was. Rabbi Nachman believed and spoke all the time about the path, a little path to the side. Shvil Echad Min Hatzad. Shvil Min Hatzad. We see this we see this in the parasha. It says in this parasha in Mishpatim, Ma'at Ma'at Agreshenu Mipanecha. You know, we're coming to Eretz Yisrael, right? So we're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and we know that this is the place, this is it, this is the tachlis of our lives, Ki Beis Chayenu. This is the tachlis of our lives, to come to Eretz Yisrael. This is the promise that was made to the others, and now we're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to take over the whole place in 1 minute, and it's going to be gewaldig, and everything's going to be 100% the way that we dreamt of, and the way that it should be and could be, and so on. But that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says this week, the Torah is telling us this Amish now. Ma'at ma'at aga shenu mipanecha. Hashem Baruch says, little by little, I will drive them away. Little did we know how little by little that was going to be. But the Rosh Hashanah says, ma'at ma'at aga shenu mipanecha. Little by little, I will drive the enemies away. Little by little. Ad asher tifre v'nachalte es ha'aretz. Until you become fruitful and you inherit the land. Until you become fruitful and inherit the land. This is not only in our history. This is not only when it comes to the people as a people coming to our place. That it has been ma'at ma'at agashenu min ha'aretz. But in the life of each person, it's the same thing. And the Torah says this in a few places. Later on in Devarim, v'nashal Hashem lokecha as ha'goyim ha'el mipanecha, I will drive away, Hashem's Baruch will drive away these goyim mipanecha, ma'at ma'at, little by little. Le'tuchol kaloisa maher, you will not be able to destroy them quickly. It's not going to happen so fast. The Baruch Hashem already told us, ma'at ma'at, slowly. It's going to take time, slowly. In the life of each person, the sheni lemelech here, the second in command, he started looking for the lost princess. I mean, he asked for what he needed for the trip that we spoke about. And he was traveling back and forth for a long time through deserts, fields, and forests. And he searched for the princess for a very long time. For a very long time, and deserts, fields, and forests means that the Sheni Lamelech certainly took upon himself all that he could possibly do. And he engaged in every single possible extreme, super-duper deluxe effort that could be made to find the lost princess for a long time. And it wasn't going. It didn't go. Until finally he said, Eilech b'shvil hazeh. No. There's a little shvil min hatzad. Since I have traveled for so long in the desert and cannot find her, let me follow this path. Perhaps it will bring me to an inhabited area. Perhaps, maybe. I've tried everything. And it hasn't worked. I haven't found her. So maybe I'll try this. Eilech b'shvil hazeh. What does that mean? That means that in the life of each person, ma'at ma'at ageshenem ha'aretz, means that you can't always take on all of the darkness inside of you, and all of the ugliness, and all of the tumen, you can't always take it on, mamish, head to head. The person has to know that, like it says in the pasuk, "Gesachbula is tasa mulchama," that there has to be strategy, and a person has to go with seichel. Rabbi Nachman said, even the way he taught us about kavana in davening, not to worry about having kavana for the whole davening. You worry about having kavana for a sentence. Not to worry about how is your Yiddishkeit going to be for the rest of your life. Just hayayim in b'karlus ishma. Hayayim today. Not to worry even about the entire day. Just the brach that I'm about to say. A person has to be a chacham, Rabbi Nachman said. And a person has to know how to deal with the other side and with all of the darkness that's already here and that one generated in his own life through his aveiros, Hashem Yirachem, that we bring upon ourselves. And a person has to understand that even though he would love to get out of Mitzrayim this minute, and he would love to be free of all of this, and he would love to be right away back with the lost princess in a minute, but Lamaish, that's not how it works. It's ma'at ma'at. There's a seder in this world of ma'at ma'at ageshenem min ha'aretz. Until a person comes to his neshama, what Rabbi Nachman is describing here, how much a person has to go through and how long it takes until a person's megalah, his neshama, his amunah, until davening is the way it's supposed to be. And therefore Rabbi Nachman used to always say, hamteng, we spoke about this so many times, wait, be patient, don't be doichek as hashar. What happened to the ma'pilim when they wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael before the right time? When they were told, v'hi lo titzlach, it's not going to work. Ma'at ma'at ageshen min ha'aretz. And to know when is the time, and to know when to push, and to know when to give something more time. And therefore, the trait that Rabbi Nachman admired most in a person was akshanus. Hasmada and akshanus. You know, you see this sometimes. You'll have in yeshiva, you'll have a bacha that's a real, real, like, you know, he comes in into this man with a bang. Comes in first, he walks in like a 40s firm, you know, they're learning whatever, they're learning Gittin. He comes in with everything, you know, on Gittin, like up to here, every safe on Gittin. And he comes in with notebooks, and new notebooks, and new pens. And he's got, like, you know, new payas, and he's got new everything, except the talis cotton. Everything else is new. Everything's brand new. And he's all excited, and the word is going around that he's a Balkishan, he has a good head, and he comes in like this, mamish. He already has. If you ask him what do you have planned, he says, "Kaidim, I'm going to learn the. I'm going to prepare this and this for this shiur, and then I'm going to be eating, and I'm writing down all the shiur, and then I have a bekiyas. I plan to finish the mesechta by Chanukah, and after Chanukah, I'm going to chazer over three times, then I'm going to move on. You know, he has already this whole thing planned out, and he's got like this whole excitement and everything. It's a good thing in person to feel that way, but. You start to notice, like, you know, the Seder is supposed to begin, let's say, it should begin at whatever, 7 o'clock. So let's say it starts at 9 o'clock, 9:30, and starts. The Seder issue says, no, the jobs start like that, but okay. So what are you going to do? So it starts, let's say, 9 o'clock, Seder. So he starts, after the third day, he's coming like 10 after 9. And then this, you see, then there's in the yeshiva, there's a quiet bacher that sits in a place, a shvil min hatzad. He's not sitting right in the Rebbe's face, you know? It's a shvil min hatzad. A little bachel someplace. He goes quiet. You don't know whether he has a new notebook or an old notebook. You don't know. But every day is an action. He won't be late. He'll come to Seder on time. He comes to davening on time. There's no big bliss and his shuckling and screaming and yelling. And there's no. It's just an akshanus. Even though there are many, many days, certainly he doesn't feel like it. So a lot of times the first guy, the guy that was, you know, on fire, as fast as the fire dies out. There's such a teva in many people that there's a very big, very big excitement, and there's a teva like that. And then, I mean, they see that they have don't have such a cheshek. So since they expected that it was going to be not ma'at agashenem haritz, but I'm going to drive the Palestinians out in one day. And I'm going to drive out all the Yetzirah and the Sitra. Everything's going to be in one day. Because when the other side sees that I have a new notebook for Masech to give, and my parents bought me, you know, a new tape recorder, and I have all the Svarim I'm getting, and I have a good head, and Baruch Hashem, and I have a good chavrusa, and I have a good Rebbe, and a good Mashgiach, and I have a good spot in the Beis Medrash, and I'm all set. You have guys that they spend so much time, like in the Mir Yeshiva and Yerushalayim, staking out their spot that they forgot what they got it for. They just sit the rest of the Zman like with a flag. I'm here. So what were you fighting for? What were you fighting for? You were fighting to get a spot in the Mir Yeshiva. Good. So learn. You're in the Mir Yeshiva. No? So you're sitting there with a flag. I'm here. But learn. So what happens to the person that thinks that right away the police are going to leave? Right away, that it's going to be finished. All the Knanim, all the Plishtim, they're going to be gone. No more Yetzahar, no more Sitrach, because I came with a big, big Ratzim to learn, and I came like this, and I'm all. So what happens is a lot of times, not that a person shouldn't have a strong Ratzim, of course, but what happens very often with that temperament, with that type of a person, is that when he sees that it's not so, this Inyan is not so gewaldic in the Masechta, he thought it was going to be, you know, much more exciting, and the Rebbe maybe is staying very long on a certain inyan, and he is hoping it would be, you know, there must be life after Eid Echad Neman Bisur, and if you learn Gittin right, so there must be some way to continue beyond this point, you know, to get to maybe to Gimel. So down Gimel, and the Rebbe is taking a long time, and the Chavrusa can be a little bit, there's a little bit of tension, it's not so good with the Chavrusa, it starts to. So what happens is that this kind of a person, then slowly you see, 10 after 9, 9:20, then he says that he had a bit cold, you know, for a couple of days, and this and that, and starts to fall apart like that. But when you have somebody, then you have another bach that sits there, until you don't see this big Indian, but he's an action. Now he's stubborn. Akshonis, he's stubborn. Rabbi Nachman loved Akshonis. In Avodas Hashem, Akshonis. And the person, even though it doesn't feel like it doesn't make a difference how he feels, he pushes himself. He pushes himself. So he has a shvil katan. He has a small path. He has a small path. But in the end, that person is going to be menatzeach. The guy that's on the highway, like on the 6-lane highway, the first guy, he's on a 6-lane highway in a fancy car, the first guy. And he thinks for sure that he's gonna make it to the end zone, and he's gonna master Masech the Gittin that year, and he's gonna catch the attention of all the Rosh Yeshiva, and he's gonna be. So a lot of times the one that starts off on the 6-lane highway doesn't really get to the end. But it was the guy that's the action, the one that says, you know, I've tried in the past this way of thinking that everything's going to be perfect, and I'm going to get this from the yeshiva, I'm going to get this from the shiur, I'm going to get this from the mesechta. But the second person says, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm committing myself to something that I can do, that's doable, that's within my reach. I'm not going to say that I'm going to be up till 2:00 every morning. I'm going to go to sleep at I'm going to go to sleep, whatever it is, maybe 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, I'll go to sleep. I'm not going to say that I'm getting up 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to go to the mikveh, and then I'm going to say tikkun klali, and then I'm going to go to the mikveh again, and then I'm going to go to learn, then I'm going to learn this, I'm going to learn that, and then I'm going to come to davening with a brand, and there's going to be a shir. I'm going to try to, what time does it start? Davening is at 7:30. I'll make sure, no matter what, if I can go a half hour early to learn something, I'll go to the mikveh, that's nice. If not, 7:20, davening 7:30, 7:25, I'm in shul, already putting my tefillin on. No matter what I feel like, no matter how it's going for me. Rabbi Nachman, this was called Shvil Echad, a little path, Min Hatzad, a little path on the side. That he says that many people on the Damim La'atzma, they have a delusion that they're going to get to the Tachlis fast on a superhighway. They're going to get to the Tachlis. Sibben Achim says that's not the key. The key always is to kifus, not kshonus, and to be omitz bedaitecha, to be strong and to be courageous and to be consistent. Not to be nispol, he said over and over, not to be nispol, because there are going to be people who are going to laugh at you. That's right, that's what you're doing. That's your little, that's how you spend your day. What's the matter? You go to sleep at 10:30. You came to yeshiva, you'll sleep 10:30. I go to sleep at 2 o'clock. You get up at 7 o'clock. I get up at 6 o'clock or 5:30. You're getting up at 7 o'clock. And Ibn Achman says never to be nispol, that people make fun of your shvil echad min hatzad, that they make fun of your little road, your little path, not to worry if they make fun of the nispol from it at all. And he says this also in the Sefer Midos in many places, that it's the nature of people, we'll talk more about this in a minute, it's the nature of people to look at somebody else's derech and to say that's bichlal not a derech. You can't get anywhere with that. It's a little nothing of a path. You're not going to get anywhere with that. And Ibn Achman says that not to be nispol at all, not to be nispol at all, but he says not to pay attention to what anybody, not to let anybody be mabalbal you, to mix you up, to confuse you, that they seem to be going in a much bigger way, in a much grander way, not to be nispol from that at all. So in Rabbi Nassim and the other Svarim, this is one mahalach. This is one mahalach of understanding this shvil. So in the story here, when he says, well, that he had traveled here and there and he wasn't successful, he couldn't find his way, and he saw a path to the side, he thought it over. I mean, mi'ayishev daito. We'll talk more about that later on. But the yishev adas, he thought it over. Since I've traveled so long in the desert and cannot find it, let me follow this path. Perhaps it will bring me to an inhabited area. Which in the end is true. That's what brought him to the inhabited area, to the Bas Melech. That's one mahalach. The second mahalach is that from generation to generation, by the rest of the Chassidim, there's a Messiah that apparently goes back to Rabbi Nosson himself, that Rabbi Nachman was speaking about a specific little path, and that's the path of his baidavus, of personal conversation with Hashem Hashbach, which everybody knows by Rabbi Nachman was a big, big, big yisayid in all of his teachings. A side path is his baidavus. Therefore, the meaning of the sheni lamalchus, the sheni lamelech, spending many, many years looking for the Bas Melech who is lost and being unsuccessful, the way it's explained according to this is that the well-traveled road, or the main road, or the main highway, those are the tefillos and the bakashas that Klal Yisrael has been saying for thousands of years, and we continue to say. Everybody has to daven Shachris Min Chamarv, to say all the right words. There's no question. And yet, Rabbi Nachman said that he came to the world to not to teach something new, because this is also called a path. This is also a derech. It's a derech. It's just a derech that already has like weeds growing on it. You know, when you go somewhere and you see like there's a path that's going on the side of the nicely paved road, there's a path. And there were people that have traveled on that path. But it's the road not taken, I guess, to borrow from the world of Talmud. It's the road not taken. And over the years, it's gotten dirty and it's covered with weeds and so on. So this less traveled path, Rabbi Nachman says, is not something which is entirely new. Rabbi Nachman says, I'm not saying to do something that was never done. As a matter of fact, what Rabbi Nachman is saying is that this is the oldest path. It's the oldest path. It's the path of each individual person is developing a personal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu before there ever was a Siddur. Before there was ever a Beis HaMikdash and a Seder Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. And then after the Churban, the development of a Seder of Tefillah with the Siddur HaTefillah. But before there was any of that, there were individual people who sought to develop a relationship with the Borei Olam, with the Creator. So Rabbi Nachman is saying that this is also called a path. I'm not starting something new. I'm not going into a place where no person has ever gone. It's not something new. It's just it has been neglected, it's been forgotten, it hasn't been tended to. It's not as famous, it's not as well known, and therefore it's not a public thoroughfare. Shachar Milchamav is a public thoroughfare. It's a public thoroughfare. And whenever you have a public thoroughfare, you're bound to have toll booths and rest stops, right? You don't have that on the little Shvil Menatzad. You don't have that. But when you have a major thoroughfare, so then they're stopping. There are all kinds of distractions they have. They have, besides to go in some restaurants and different things and different places, and to go when you're traveling on the main highway, on a busy thoroughfare. And it takes a toll on a person. Plus it takes a toll. Not anything that they have easy pass for in Avodas Hashem. It's no easy pass. It takes a toll. The person goes on that year after year and he wonders, I'm davening chais. You walk into a shul. I'm talking about shul people or Shema Shabbos. What's on a regular, you know, it's hard, the regular Shachas Milchamarv. On the major thoroughfare, you know, you get very, very drowsy when you're on a big road and you're traveling for hours. You start to, you know, it's hard to pay attention. Mashainakan, if you're on this little curving, interesting shvil, like on a tiyul, you know, you're very, very careful. Every single step that you take, and you're aware of the journey that you're on. On the highway, I told you, I told you some months ago that I was with some chaverim. When the first year in college, we went down to Orlando, Miami. We went to Orlando, and we were supposed to switch off the driving, but my friends fell asleep, and I was stuck with the whole thing from Orlando back to Miami. Oh, I kept on saying, "Can you get up, get up?" And I was like, totally out of it. So I had the whole drive. It's not that bad. I don't know, it was like 4 or 5. I don't remember. But it's a mahalach. I didn't remember anything. I just remember that the sign said like 200 something miles to Miami, and then a minute later it said Miami like 4 miles, and I don't remember anything in between. And I to this day I wonder, like, what was that? So I must have been, I was awake, because I guess I was like passing people and doing stuff and, you know, signaling. But I looked at the sign, I went, what happened? I was there, we were there, and I don't remember anything. I saw, like, I was up here, I don't remember anything that happened. It was just, you know, it wasn't a crisis of error, it was just a very dangerous lapse of attention. So you keep on functioning on some level. That's pretty much how it is in shul. You know, that's like in shul. You don't know what happened. All of a sudden, oh, ding, alayna l'shabach l'mach. You wake up all of a sudden, it's alayna, wow. I just started, you know. So all of a sudden, you hear the guy saying alayna, and everybody's packing up and rolling up their tool and get to heim and work and everything. So there's a lapse, you know, when you're on the main highway, on the big thoroughfare, it's like you stop paying attention.
It's very dangerous. You stop noticing, you stop paying attention, you could have terrible chas v'shalom, terrible accident. There could be all kinds of bad things when a person is in such a way. Masha Enikin, a person takes the road not taken, or the less traveled path. The reason that Rabbi Nachman, the reason that Sfarim say Rabbi Nachman calls this a shvil echad min hatzad, I mean, it's called a shvil echad min hatzad because there's only room for one person at a time. That's how tiny it is. That's how tiny it is. There's only room for one person at a time. If you've been on a little trail, you can't pass. There's no lanes to pass. If you try to pass somebody, you go off the hill. It's a shvil echad min hatzad because Rabbi Nachman says when it comes down to it, you have to learn how to speak to the Baruch Shalom as if you're the only person in the world. And therefore, it's a shvil echad. There's only room for one person on that shvil. You can't... Of course, we have Tefillah B'Tzibur, and Rabbi Nachman was very makbid with that, and there's no question to be part of the Tzibur and Tefillah B'Tzibur, but to develop a relationship with this Baruch, Rabbi Nachman is screaming, we're not going to the whole any of his Bardis with such a beginning. But everybody knows that Rabbi Nachman is Bardis, is Bardis, is Bardis. There has to be a time that you have by yourself, and there's no one else around you. Or if you're already on a Madrega where you could have 1,000 people around you, but you're still by yourself. You're still by yourself. But this is the Yisai of this shvil echad min hatzad, to have this one little path. There's no question that the highways get people to all kinds of places. That means the siddur and tehillim and all the tefillahs and so on. It's a very, very chashuv thing. But Rabbi Nachman was being megala here that especially at the end of time, when we feel so detached from the Bas Melech, And we just don't know how to find her, to find that Amunah that Rabbi Nachman said, that now there's no choice. We have to find a Shvil Echad Min Hatzad. Each person has to have in his life a personal, private, quiet Shvil Min Hatzad. There's only room for him on that Shvil. Nobody else is with him. It's a quiet place and a quiet time. And that's of course the meaning of his Baidus. So when it says that the Sheini, that the viceroy, the hero of our story, the tzaddik, whatever, that he's going for a long time, he was going for a long time in the regular places how people traveled. He was going in a long time. He wasn't matzliach, and it means that even though that he was using all of the regular tefillahs and the regular minyanim and the regular tefillahs and the regular darchei ha'avayda, he couldn't find the Bas Melech until finally while traveling through the desert, he saw a path to the side. He saw this little path to the side, and he said, "Elech b'shvil hazeh, maybe I'll get to the place, to the yeshuv. Maybe sof kol sof I'll get to the yeshuv." On a deeper level, which is of course connected to what we're learning about with his Baidus, what Rabbi Nachman is saying is that the only way that a Jew could find the lost princess if he stops looking at how other people are searching, how other people are looking. A person has to look according to his matziv in life and who he is and his own personal shvil. He has to have his own Shvil. That's what it means, a shvil echad min hatzad, according to the things that he went through in life, and the family that he was born into, and the seichel that he was given, and his emotional kaiches, and the terror that he learned, and the experiences that he had in life, and where he's holding at this moment in life. Therefore, when it comes down to it, Rabbi Nachman says it can't be. Ultimately, it can't be just one davening for all of Klal Yisrael. Even though we know that the Ari HaKadosh made it, there should be a shark kailel that all Jews could travel on this road. It's true, and we could all travel on the road of our tefillahs. And the city that we have in Dovra Melech, we know, established also such a big union that every Jew, no matter who or what, every Jew can go into Dovra Melech and can go and tell them, and there's no question. But it says in the Sfarim that, in the rest of the Sfarim, that Shvil Min Hatzad is the Oisiyas Moshe. Shvil Shin Min Mem Hatzad Hey is Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu. Shvil Min Hatzad. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. So Tfilu LaMoshe Isha Lakim. Now if one looks at that entire capital, the Tfilu LaMoshe, the meaning of Moshe was that Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in a place that was not conducive to Avodas Hashem. He grew up in a place that wasn't conducive. Not just the place. He grew up in the air of Asar. It's in the lowest place. But who did he have? Bechlal. Where did he come from? Who were his parents? His family? What? So he's raised in a palace. Everything in the palace is mamish. It's the Avi Ovis of Tumah from the Sitra Achra. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu was raised. So what's the Shvil Min Hatzad is the Oisius Moshe? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, the only way that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to become Moshe Rabbeinu is because he believed that ultimately, all of the circumstances of his life and all of the things that surrounded him, all of that was his personal shvil of how he could become great. And that every single nisayon, everything was a test in a personal relationship that he had with the Borei Olam, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, according to his own personal avoda. And he didn't ask kashas, how come I had to be raised in such a family or without a family? And why did I have to be in such a thing and to be separated from my people? And he could have so easily lost any feeling for his people, any connection, but instead his vayab, he looked and he saw and he cared and ultimately, since he didn't pay attention to what was around him, he didn't become the world that he lived in. He held on to himself. Like Ibn Achim says in Lukut Maran, on the Pasuk, Echad Haya Avraham. Ibn Achim says in Lukut Maran, what does he mean? Echad, says in Navi, Echad Haya Avraham. Avraham was one. So Ibn Achim explains, what does it mean, Echad Haya Avraham? It's Echad Haya Avraham. So Ibn Achim says that Echad Haya Avraham, Echad Haya Avraham means that Avraham Avinu became Avraham Avinu because he lived on that Shvil Echad. Echad Haya Avraham. He didn't care what this one thought or this one said. He didn't care. He didn't blame anything on other things in his life. This is who I am. He also, what kind of a house did he come from? What kind of a world did he grow up in? And the easiest thing in the world would have been to blame his everything on his upbringing and on what he came from, what kind of a place he came from, what kind of a lettuce, what kind of a house he came from. And it would have been the easiest thing in the world for Avraham Avinu to just become like everybody else. And if he would have gone on the highway, if he would have gone on the main thoroughfare, the main highway, so Avraham Avinu would have been another one of the nameless millions of Avdei Avodah Zarah. It would have been nothing. So where did Klai Yisrael begin? Where do we begin? Echad Haya Avraham. Echad Haya Avraham, a Shvil Echad Min Hatzad, Moshe Rabbeinu. But people who weren't afraid of being different. Who weren't afraid of being different. And that's when David HaMelech starts in Tehillim. So everyone knows the beginning of Tehillim can be in Beseres Hashem Cheftzoi. In the beginning it says in Beseres Hashem Cheftzoi, Asher Ish and so on, in Beseres Hashem Cheftzoi, that a person has a desire and a cheshek with Teres Hashem, and the brothers say afterwards, no, ubisarasai yehege yom v'layla. In his own Teire, he studies day and night. And Chazal tells us, and all the Saram tell us, that in the beginning it's called Teres Hashem. That's the main highway. But each person's job in life is to find ubisarasai, what's my Teire? What speaks to me? Of course you have to keep the halach and be with Yidden and be part of a Klai Yisrael and everything. But each person in his avayda, we spoke about this a million times, each person in his avayda, it's not enough. Teres Hashem Chavzai. A Rebbe has to understand, a parent has to understand, we have to understand in ourselves that Teres Hashem is how you begin. But the Baruch Shalom wants that the Torah Hashem should become ubisai rasai hegei and vayalut, your own Torah. What's your Torah? Not just the Torah Hashem bechlal, the main highway, but tayrasai, b'sai rasai yegei yom and vayalut, in your own personal Torah. Because each person has his own derech in this world. And each person has his own shvil. And Avraham Avinu could only become Avraham Avinu because he looked at himself like Rabbi Nachman says, look at him around, he looked at himself like, I'm the only person in the world. It's not my inyan that this person has this avodah, and this person is great in this way, or this person has this taiva, this person has this. I have my shvil, I have my path, I have my way. Even though, of course, always respecting everybody else's and always being part of the tzibur, but in his own avodah, everybody keeping halacha properly, but each person knows that he has a sheresh of his neshama, his own root, the root of his own neshama. And the root of his own neshama is connected to all the gilgulim, all of the lives that he's been through. None of us are here anymore for the first time. Each one of us is drawn to certain things, either good things, and there are things that are not so good that we're pulled to, and all of these things are from the sheresh of who we are and from earlier Gilgulim. And I, therefore, if I start to, when I'm on the highway, I'm always looking to see who's going here, who's passing me, and who's driving next to me, and so on. When you're on the highway, and the person gets distracted by everybody else's driving, everybody else is moving in that place. But when a person's on the Shvil Echad Min Hatzad, it means he has to find his own personal way. That what is it for him that brings him to the Rebbeinu Shalom, and the ikka to accomplish this, Rebbe Nachman said, is his baidus. The main way to accomplish this, he said, is through his baidus, through speaking to Hashem's Baruch in your own words, by yourself. It's the main way to accomplish this, to begin to have your own personal connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of always being part of general admissions, but to have your own personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that changes everything. Changes. There's no one mahalach in a person's life. What was yesterday is not today. And the circumstances of my life have changed. Yesterday the ikka had to be a hava, and today it has to be with you. And yesterday the ikka is that, like you see in the parasha, the mitzvah of prika and te'ina. I mentioned this morning that an animal has either the person needs help, the yid needs help to load up his animal, or to take off something from the animal, right? To help a yid. The Rambam has such the shyness of this inyan. So this machlokes we show him whether or not it applies to a human being also, to another Jew, not just to the Jew's animal, but a Jew that shlep. So there's a chinuch, there's a rashba, there's a Rambam, it's a whole beginning. But the Indian of pre-cantina, the Beis Yaakov, I mentioned a number of times over the years, that the Ishbitz says that you could have a person who one day, when you meet this person on Monday, you need to help him to put more of the Baruch Shalom on his shoulders, to put more Ol Malchus Shemayim on him, because he's not so strong that day. And he's taking, he's taking it easy. And you need to help load the guy up. But then you can meet the guy the next day, and he's overwhelmed by Yiddishkeit. And then you have to be able to help him with the packages off. What does that mean with the packages off? Does that mean Chas V'Shalom that he doesn't have to keep mitzvahs? No. The Ishbitz says a very, very deep thing. He says that one day you have to tell this person that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a Midas Adin in the world. There's no messing around. And the Baruch Shalom is, there's a midah k'neged midah, measure for measure. What do you think you're doing? You have to help get some of the packages on. Ol Malchus Shamayim. But then sometimes you have a person that, especially after he did, God forbid, something bad, so the person feels that, forget, I can never have a shaychis Hashem, that God must hate me. And then you have to tell him, Tayyiv Hashem l'kol. Ah, the Baruch Shalom still loves you. Are you crazy? Of course he loves you. The Baruch Shalom still loves you. And no matter what you did, you're still a yid. If you would have told him that yesterday, that would have been terrible. You have to be careful. Every day is a different bechina, a different person. And to know, in a Talmud, and a friend, and a child, What does he need today? Does he need to be helped with getting the packages on, or do you need a little bit to help him to get the packages off because he's being crushed by this feeling that God will never forgive me? And you have to tell him, Toiv Hashem v'salach, the person is good and he forgives. But you, if you go and you tell that to some guy that's, you know, that's partying around, you say, oh, you're having a party, you're doing all kinds of affairs, that's okay. Toiv Hashem v'kol. Rachma v'kol ma'asav, Toiv v'salach Hashem. Don't worry, he's very forgiving. That would be very bad advice to give a guy like that. Because he says, I agree wholeheartedly. And I'm having a bliss. And that's it. No, that guy needs to be told, what do you think you're doing? What do you think, it's a hefker? No, be out of your mind. There's a Rebbeinu Shlom, there's a din, there's a dying. The Rebbeinu Shlom sitting on top of your head. He doesn't take his eyes off you for a second. And he doesn't give in. And the Gemara says, Kol Aimek is Baruch Hu. If someone says the Rebbeinu Shlom, you know, he's Mevata, he doesn't care, he looks the other way, Yevata Al-Chai, the Gemara says, then yeah, he'll look the other way from giving you another day to live. You know, if his head, the Rebbeinu Shlom lets things go. He doesn't let things go. He's a dynamis. There's a din, there's a dying, he's not a Vatrin, he doesn't just stand, look the other way. You got to get this guy out of the party. But then you have a person that you look at him, he, forget about partying, he doesn't want to live. He just says, you know, you wouldn't believe it, I did this my whole life, and so I'm finished. It's like after all the parties, you know, so forget it. Mm-hmm. So then you have to be able to tell him, Hoy b'lashem ki toiv ki loilam chazdei toiv v'salach Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shlom is rach, his love is infinite, mamish, without end, infinite, infinite, infinite. There's no such thing that he doesn't love you. There's no such thing that you can't come back. You have to each day, a person, what he tells himself, sometimes from 1 hour to the next hour, not to delude yourself, not to get mixed up between the mitzvah of prik and the mitzvah of teen, and to put on and to take off a little bit, and how to, in a person, in his relationship with the Rebbeinu Shlom, and with Shemius HaMitzvahs, and how to live as a Jew. It's not so posh to say that it's just one big highway. It's not so posh to say that it's a big highway. The sad thing is, of course, that no yeshiva could afford to give any kid his own personal, you know, rabbi and his own personal attention, together with the fact that a child has to learn how to be sociable and to be with other children, and he has to learn how to, you know, you have some of these parents that if, you know, that somebody said to the kid something not nice, that the parents are going to already, you know, they're going to go and make a whole tumult and take the other kid to take him to Bezdin or something because he said something not nice to your kid. You know, you have to tell a kid, unless it's something crazy, but it's the thing kids do. You have to say, listen, that's how it is in life. You know, you have to, it's not always so easy, it's not so pleasant, and you have to deal with things that are not pleasant. As long as it's normal things, have to deal with things that are unpleasant. But we understand that from minute to minute and from day to day in a person's life, the circumstances change from one day to the next. And when Rabbi Nachman was saying, screaming and crying, his bite of this, he was saying, his bite of this means that I'm talking to Rabbi Shalom today. I'm talking to you today. Today, this time of the day, according to what I'm living in right now, the reality of my life now. The reality of my life now is such and such, and I'm talking to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and I'm asking you for help. I'm asking you to understand how I should serve you in this matzav, and so on. And that changes. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, as it says in the Sforim, sends a person remozim, hints, and all kinds of things, and clues, and hints, all the time of what now I'm asking from you. What could you do now to be a Jew? Not what was yesterday and what's tomorrow. It was a different thing, like Nachman always said. A person lives this way, there could be such unbelievable hischazkas. As Menachem is saying, the person has unbelievable hischazkas. L'mashal, if chas v'shalom a person is having trouble with finding a zivug, chas v'shalom, you know, can't find to get married, or he's married but he has problems with shalom bayis, or they're having problems having children, or they had children, they're having problems with the children, or they're having problems with the children, they're having problems with parnasa, and a person is looking for Yeshua and so on. So Rabbi Nachman always taught that the beginning of that is to first ask Hashem Yisbarach to give me emuna shleima, that all that I'm going through is your reaching out to me for this moment of my life. It's not something crazy, it's not something bizarre or strange, but it's mamish l'tayvasi ha-nitzchis that I'm going through this particular moment of my life, and every single thing is to be makar of me. And all I'm asking for, Rabbi Shalom, help me to understand what is it that you want me to do at this time, and how I can be mamtik the Yisur. Once I understand that every single thing that I'm going through is the fida avayda of this man, and you pour your heart out and you daven. This is the way Rabbi Nachman taught, and to say, Rabbi Shalom, I'm not just davening to you because I want to get potter from Yisur. Like most people daven, I don't want to have any problems. There's no, today I didn't get any panasa. I'm davening for panasa. Today I didn't feel well. Take away the sickness. Today my father and my mother didn't, take away the sickness. This way is when a person talks from hour to hour, from day to day, saying, look, Rabbi Shalom, I'm not just coming to you for a cameo appearance to get rid of Yisur, that I need you to eliminate some tzaras in my life. My whole life is a constant ongoing conversation with you. And I'm not trying to just pocket myself up from my difficulties. I'm asking you, what do you want from me? Not a taina, but what this minute of my life, what is it that you're asking from me? What should I do? What could I be masakin? It's true, I don't want to have sickness. I don't want to have tzaras. It's true that I want to have a zivug. I want to get married. I want to have shalom bayis. I want to have children. I want panos. I want these things. It's true, I'm not lying. But you know from my relationship with you that the ikra in my life is to try to find out what can I be masakin. And if you're showing me this, you're telling me something. So what can I be masakin? What can I change? What can I fix? What can I learn from what I'm going through? How can I become greater from all that I'm going through? What's the Ratzon Hashem? And when a person lives in this way of the Shvil Echad Min Atzad, in the way of his Baidus, then that person is constantly in this conversation with the Borei Olam, with the Creator, and he's constantly. So we think his brothers means only to talk to Hashem, but it's not true. The Baruch Hashem talks back to that person. He gives him back all kinds of Ramazim, all kinds of things to give that person a kivun in his life, and the result of that could be that the Yisurim will stop, that the suffering will go away, and the Parnassah will come, and the Shalom Bayis will come. It could be. Maybe not. It could be. It could be because Hayipolim Hashem Dover, nothing's too hard for Hashem. But whether it comes or it doesn't come, the person already is in the place of Yeshua. This person lives in a relationship with the Borei Olam, and he has a Yeshua from moment to moment, from day to day. He feels the Yeshua Hashem in his life, even though it doesn't always come to the results, because the tachlis of his relationship to God is not just to get results. The tachlis of his relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu is a relationship with the Borei Olam. And that is, Rabbi Nachman says, that is very hard to achieve going down the main road, just joining everybody, which we all have to do, of course, and to daven together the tzibur. It's a very, very holy and great thing to be part of the tzibur. But unless you have this personal little shvil, unless you have this shvil echad min hatzad, it's a small path, but it's your own path. And it's your own path, and in that, Rabbi Nachman says that in your own path, you will find the lost princess. Guaranteed. Like Rabbi Nachman says at the beginning. In the end, he finds the lost princess. And the only way that he would get to the lost princess was taking the little personal side road, not on the highway. And if you don't take that, it's very, very big suffix. Rabbi Nachman said, Bismanena, before Mashiach comes, whether you could ever get to it. It's a very, very big suffix. If you're just traveling in general admissions on the 6-lane highway, it's a very, very big suffix if you find the lost princess. You get rewarded for every mitzvah in the next world, of course. And there's not. But to find the lost princess, Emuna, Simcha, Slavas, Malchus, Shechina, all of that delicious stuff, that's only when you take that little path. On the 6-lane highway, it's very, very, very hard. Mola was like that. Why it changed is not for now. But it started off at the beginning of our people, there were little paths. And it has to end in that way also, with personal, private pathways that a person finds himself. Okay, Hashem's Baruch should help us, that each and every one of us should not, we should only talk about it, but we should talk and be able to find that and to be akshonim, and to keep on going, and to not to stop on that journey till we find that, as Hashem, the lost princess.